The Golden Bough. A Study of Magic and Religion. By Sir James George Frazer. This audiobook was produced by Klaus-Dieter Mond, Rastatt, Germany and is published under the conditions of the Gutenberg Organization. Chapter 28. The Killing of the Tree Spirit. Section 2. Burying the Carnival. Thus far I have offered an explanation of the rule which required that the priest of Nemi should be slain by his successor. The explanation claims to be no more than probable. Our scanty knowledge of the custom and of its history forbids it to be more. But its probability will be augmented in proportion to the extent to which the motives and modes of thought which it assumes can be proved to have operated in primitive society. Hitherto the god with whose death and resurrection we have been chiefly concerned has been the tree god. But if I can show that the custom of killing the god and the belief in his resurrection originated, or at least existed, in the hunting and pastoral stage of society, when the slain god was an animal, and that it survived into the agricultural stage, when the slain god was the corn or a human being representing the corn, the probability of my explanation will have been considerably increased. This I shall attempt to do in the sequel, and in the course of the discussion I hope to clear up some obscurities which still remain, and to answer some objections which may have suggested themselves to the reader. We start from the point at which we left off the spring customs of European peasantry. Besides the ceremonies already described, there are two kindred sets of observances in which the simulated death of a divine or supernatural being is a conspicuous feature. In one of them, the being whose death is dramatically represented is a personification of the carnival. In the other, it is death himself. The former ceremony falls naturally at the end of the carnival, either on the last day of that merry season, namely Shrove Tuesday, or on the first day of Lent, namely Ash Wednesday. The date of the other ceremony, the carrying or driving out of death, as it is commonly called, is not so uniformly fixed. Generally it is the fourth Sunday in Lent, which hence goes by the name of Dead Sunday. But in some places the celebration falls a week earlier, in others, as among the Czechs of Bohemia, a week later, while in certain German villages of Moravia it is held on the first Sunday after Easter. Perhaps, as has been suggested, the date may originally have been variable, depending on the appearance of the first swallow or some other herald of the spring. Some writers regard the ceremony as Slavonic in its origin. Grimm thought it was a festival of the new year with the old Slavs, who began their year in March. We shall first take examples of the mimic death of the carnival, which always falls before the other in the calendar. At Frosinone, in Latium, about halfway between Rome and Naples, the dull monotony of life in a provincial Italian town is agreeably broken on the last day of the carnival by the ancient festival known as the Radica. About 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the town band, playing lively tunes and followed by a great crowd, proceeds to the Piazza del Plebiscite, where is the subprefecture as well as the rest of the government buildings. Here, in the middle of the square, the eyes of the expectant multitude are greeted by the sight of an immense car decked with many colored festoons and drawn by 4 horses. Mounted on the car is a huge chair, on which sits enthroned the majestic figure of the carnival, a man of stucco about 9 feet high with a rubicund and smiling countenance. Enormous boots, a tin helmet like those which grace the heads of officers of the Italian Marine, and a coat of many colors embellished with strange devices, adorn the outward man of this stately personage. His left hand rests on the arm of the chair, while with his right he gracefully salutes the crowd, being moved to this act of civility by a string which is pulled by a man who modestly shrinks from publicity under the mercy seat. And now the crowd, surging excitedly round the car, gives vent to its feelings in wild cries of joy, gentle and simple being mixed up together and all dancing furiously the saltarello. A special feature of the festival is that everyone must carry in his hand what is called a radica, root, by which is meant a huge leaf of the aloe or rather the agave. Anyone who ventured into the crowd without such a leaf would be unceremoniously hustled out of it, unless indeed he bore as a substitute a large cabbage at the end of a long stick or a bunch of grass curiously plait. When the multitude, after a short turn, has escorted the slow-moving car to the gate of the subprefecture, they halt, and the car, jolting over the uneven ground, rumbles into the courtyard. A hush now falls on the crowd, their subdued voices sounding, according to the description of one who has heard them, like the murmur of a troubled sea. All eyes are turned anxiously to the door from which the subprefect himself and the other representatives of the majesty of the law are expected to issue and pay their homage to the hero of the hour. A few moments of suspense and then a storm of cheers and hand-clapping salutes the appearance of the dignitaries, as they file out and, descending the staircase, take their place in the procession. The hymn of the carnival is now thundered out, after which, amid a deafening roar, aloe leaves and cabbages are whirled aloft and descend impartially on the heads of the just and the unjust, who lend fresh zest to the proceedings by engaging in a free fight. When these preliminaries have been concluded to the satisfaction of all concerned, the procession gets underway. The rear is brought up by a cart laden with barrels of wine and polysemen, the latter engaged in the congenial task of serving out wine to all who ask for it, while a most internecine struggle, accompanied by a copious discharge of yells, blows, and blasphemy, goes on among the surging crowd at the cart's tail in their anxiety not to miss the glorious opportunity of intoxicating themselves at the public expense. Finally, after the procession has paraded the principal streets in this majestic manner, the effigy of Carnival is taken to the middle of a public square, stripped of his finery, laid on a pile of wood, and burnt amid the cries of the multitude, who thundering out once more the song of the carnival fling their so-called roots on the pier and give themselves up without restraint to the pleasures of the dance. In the abrasive pastebbed figure of the carnival is carried by four grave diggers with pipes in their mouths and bottles of wine slung at their shoulder belts. In front walks the wife of the carnival, dressed in mourning and dissolved in tears. From time to time the company halts, and while the wife addresses the sympathizing public, the grave diggers refresh the inner man with a pull at the bottle. In the open square the mimic corpse is laid on a pier, and to the roll of drums, the shrill screams of the women, and the gruffle cries of the men a light is set to it. While the figure burns, chestnuts are thrown about among the crowd. Sometimes the carnival is represented by a straw man at the top of a pole which is borne through the town by a troop of mums in the course of the afternoon. When evening comes on, four of the mums hold out a quilt or sheet by the corners, and the figure of the carnival is made to tumble into it. The procession is then resumed, the performers weeping crocodile tears and emphasizing the poignancy of their grief by the help of saucepans and dinner bells. Sometimes, again, in the abrasive the dead carnival is personified by a living man who lies in a coffin, attended by another who acts the priest and dispenses holy water in great profusion from a bathing tub. At Lérida, in Catalonia, the funeral of the carnival was witnessed by an English traveller in 1877. On the last Sunday of the carnival a grand procession of infantry, cavalry, and maskers of many sorts, some on horseback and some in carriages, escorted the grand car of His Grace Poppy, as the effigy was called, in triumph through the principal streets. For 3 days the revelry ran high, and then at midnight on the last day of the carnival the same procession again wound through the streets, but under a different aspect and for a different end. The triumphal car was exchanged for a hearse, in which reposed the effigy of His Dead Grace, a troop of maskers, who in the first procession had played the part of students of folly with many a merry quip and jest, now, robed as priests and bishops, paced slowly along holding aloft huge lighted tapers and singing a dirge. All the mums wore crape, and all the horsemen carried blazing flambeaux. Down the high street, between the lofty, menestoried and balconied houses, where every window, every balcony, every housetop was crammed with a dense mass of spectators, all dressed and masked in fantastic gorgeousness, the procession took its melancholy way. Over the scene flashed and played the shifting cross lights and shadows from the moving torches. Red and blue Bengal lights flared up and died out again. And above the trampling of the horses and the measured tread of the marching multitude rose the voices of the priests chanting the requiem, while the military bands struck in with the solemn roll of the muffled drums. On reaching the principal square, the procession halted. A burlesque funeral oration was pronounced over the defunct Porpi, and the lights were extinguished. Immediately the devil and his angels darted from the crowd, seized the body and fled away with it, hotly pursued by the whole multitude, yelling, screaming, and cheering. Naturally the fiends were overtaken and dispersed. And the sham corpse, rescued from their clutches, was laid in a grave that had been made ready for its reception. Thus the carnival of 1877 at Lerida died and was buried. A ceremony of the same sort is observed in Provence on Ash Wednesday. An effigy called Caramantran, whimsically attired, is drawn in a chariot or borne on a litter, accompanied by the populace in grotesque costumes, who carry gourds full of wine and drain them with all the marks, real or affected, of intoxication. At the head of the procession are some men disguised as judges and barristers, and a tall gaunt personage who masquerades as Lent. Behind them follow young people mounted on miserable hacks and attired as mourners who pretend to bewail the fate that is in store for Caramantran. In the principal square the procession halts, the tribunal is constituted, and Caramantran placed at the bar. After a formal trial he is sentenced to death amid the groans of the mob. The barrister who defended him embraces his client for the last time. The officers of justice do their duty. The condemned is set with his back to a wall and hurried into eternity under a shower of stones. The sea or a river receives his mangled remains. Throughout nearly the whole of the Ardennes it was and still is customary on Ash Wednesday to burn an effigy which is supposed to represent the carnival, while appropriate verses are sung round about the blazing figure. Very often an attempt is made to fashion the effigy in the likeness of the husband who is reputed to be least faithful to his wife of any in the village. As might perhaps have been anticipated, the distinction of being selected for portraiture under these painful circumstances has a slight tendency to breed domestic jars, especially when the portrait is burnt in front of the house of the gay deceiver whom it represents, while a powerful chorus of caterwauls, groans, and other melodious sounds bears public testimony to the opinion which his friends and neighbors entertain of his private virtues. In some villages of the Ardennes a young man of flesh and blood, dressed up in hay and straw, used to act the part of Shrove Tuesday, Mardi Gras, as the personification of the carnival is often called in France after the last day of the period which he personates. He was brought before a mock tribunal, and being condemned to death was placed with his back to a wall, like a soldier at a military execution, and fired at with blank cartridges. At Vrignaux-Bois one of these harmless buffoons, named Thierry, was accidentally killed by a wad that had been left in a musket of the firing party. When poor Shrove Tuesday dropped under the fire, the applause was loud and long, he did it so naturally. But when he did not get up again, they ran to him and found him a corpse. Since then there have been no more of these mock executions in the Ardennes. In Normandy on the evening of Ash Wednesday it used to be the custom to hold a celebration called the Burial of Shrove Tuesday. A squalid effigy scantily clothed in rags, a battered old hat crushed down on his dirty face, his great round paunch stuffed with straw, represented the disreputable old rake who, after a long course of dissipation, was now about to suffer for his sins. Hoisted on the shoulders of a sturdy fellow, who pretended to stagger under the burden, this popular personification of the carnival promenaded the streets for the last time in a manner the reverse of triumphal. Preceded by a drummer and accompanied by a jeering rabble, among whom the urchins and all the tagrag and bobtail of the town mustered in great force, the figure was carried about by the flickering light of torches to the discordant din of shovels and tongs, pots and pans, horns and kettles, mingled with hootings, groans, and hisses. From time to time the procession halted, and a champion of morality, used the broken-down old sinner of all the excesses he had committed and for which he was now about to be burned alive. The culprit, having nothing to urge in his own defense, was thrown on a heap of straw, a torch was put to it, and a great blaze shot up, to the delight of the children who frisked round it screaming out some old popular verses about the death of the carnival. Sometimes the effigy was rolled down the slope of a hill before being burned. At St. Law, the ragged effigy of Shrove Tuesday was followed by his widow, a big burly lout dressed as a woman with a crape veil, who emitted sounds of lamentation and woe in a stentorian voice. After being carried about the streets on a litter attended by a crowd of maskers, the figure was thrown into the River Vyr. The final scene has been graphically described by Madame Octave Feuillet as she witnessed it in her childhood some 60 years ago. "My parents invited friends to see, from the top of the tower of Jean Coulard, the funeral procession passing. It was there that, quaffing lemonade, the only refreshment allowed because of the fast we witnessed at nightfall, a spectacle of which I shall always preserve a lively recollection. At our feet floats a Vyr under its old stone bridge. On the middle of the bridge lay the figure of Shrove Tuesday on a litter of leaves, surrounded by scores of maskers dancing, singing, and carrying torches. Some of them in their motley costumes ran along the parapet like fiends. The rest, worn out with their revels, sat on the posts and dozed. Soon the dancing stopped, and some of the troop, seizing a torch, set fire to the effigy, after which they flung it into the river with redoubled shouts and clamor. The man of straw, soaked with resin, floated away burning down the stream of the Vyr, lighting up with its funeral fires the woods on the bank and the battlements of the old castle in which Louis XI and Francois I had slept. When the last glimmer of the blazing phantom had vanished, like a falling star, at the end of the valley, everyone withdrew, crowd and maskers alike, and we quitted the ramparts with our guests. In the neighborhood of Tubingen on Shrove Tuesday, a straw man, called the Shrovetide Bear, is made up. He is dressed in a pair of old trousers, and a fresh black pudding or two squirts filled with blood are inserted in his neck. After a formal condemnation, he is beheaded, laid in a coffin, and on Ash Wednesday is buried in the churchyard. This is called burying the carnival. Amongst some of the Saxons of Transylvania, the carnival is hanged. Thus at Brala on Ash Wednesday or Shrove Tuesday, two white and two chestnut horses draw a sledge on which is placed a strawman swathed in a white cloth. Beside him is a cartwheel which is kept turning round. Two lads disguised as old men follow the sledge lamenting. The rest of the village lads, mounted on horseback and decked with ribbons, accompany the procession, which is headed by two girls crowned with evergreen and drawn in a wagon or sledge. A trial is held under a tree, at which lads disguised as soldiers pronounce sentence of death. The two old men try to rescue the straw man and to fly with him, but to no purpose. He is caught by the two girls and handed over to the executioner, who hangs him on a tree. In vain the old men try to climb up the tree and take him down. They always tumble down, and at last in despair they throw themselves on the ground and weep and howl for the hanged man. An official then makes a speech in which he declares that the carnival was condemned to death because he had done them harm, by wearing out their shoes and making them tired and sleepy. At the burial of carnival, in Lech Rain, a man dressed as a woman in black clothes is carried on a litter or bier by four men. He is lamented over by men disguised as women in black clothes, then thrown down before the village dung heap, drenched with water, buried in the dung heap, and covered with straw. On the evening of Shrove Tuesday, the Estonians make a straw figure called Metsik or wood spirit. One year it is dressed with a man's coat and hat, next year with a hood and a petticoat. This figure is stuck on a long pole, carried across the boundary of the village with loud cries of joy, and fastened to the top of a tree in the wood. The ceremony is believed to be a protection against all kinds of misfortune. Sometimes at these Shrovetide or Lenten ceremonies, the resurrection of the pretended dead person is enacted. Thus, in some parts of Swabia on Shrove Tuesday, Dr. Ironbeard professes to bleed a sick man, who thereupon falls as dead to the ground. But the doctor at last restores him to life by blowing air into him through a tube. In the Harz Mountains, when carnival is over, a man is laid on a baking trough and carried with dirges to the grave. But in the grave a glass of brandy is buried instead of the man. A speech is delivered and then the people return to the village green or meeting place, where they smoke the long clay pipes which are distributed at funerals. On the morning of Shrove Tuesday in the following year the brandy is dug up and the festival begins by everyone tasting the spirit which, as the phrase goes, has come to life again.